You know, a lot of folks doesn't know when they hear the Spirit of the Lord. But I've been preaching on, like, over in Revelation. We've been starting out there in Revelation chapter 2. And I'll just turn there just a minute because I just want to read just that one verse. And he's talking to seven churches there. John the Revelator has got the message here, and now the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with the churches, and it finds some good in all of them, but it finds some things that they need to straighten out in every one of them. Every one of them, they had to have some straightening out. And I believe in this end time right now, we all need a little bit of straightening out, don't you? I don't believe that the churches are where they ought to be. I don't believe that people are living where they ought to be. Somebody asked me the other day, said, are you still trying to get stronger in the Lord? I said, man, I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I don't want to miss anything. I want everything that I can get on the inside of me, because when that trumpet sounds and I'm ready to go, I want to be loaded up, don't you? We need to be loaded up with the good things of God. And these seven churches that he spoke to there, the last thing he'd always say, now he said, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, the first love, I brought that in this morning plainly. The first love, when you first loved the Lord, that was your first love, you couldn't keep you out of church. You couldn't keep you from praying. Everything was new. Everything was a blessing to you. And you meditated in the Lord. Even on your work, on your job, if you're like me, you had him in contact with you constantly, meditating upon the Lord, praying to the Lord. And so that was your first love. And then we can check ourselves now. Are we anxious to go to church? Are we anxious to pray? Are we soul winner? You know, we told everybody, we aggravated them till we got them to church. They just wells to go one time, because we wouldn't quit until they went one time. And guess what usually happened the first time? They met their first love. And that's what we need. We need some soul winners today. There's people out there that's lost. We need some people full of the Holy Ghost praying for someone else to get the Holy Ghost. There's people sitting in the church by scores all over the country that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, sitting in what they call Pentecostal churches. This is not the way that it's supposed to be, church. Here's what he finally says, and he says this to everyone. Verse 7 of Revelation chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give unto him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of paradise. Now, what makes me think this is an end-time message and everything? Every one of those seven churches, he tells them the same thing. They all had different problems. They all had different things that they were good, but yet they had problems. And every one of them, he told them this: he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. So if he told all seven of those churches that, I believe he's trying to talk to us about having an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. We hear what everybody else has got to say, but we don't hear what God has to say. And that's the most important thing. We must hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And let's turn our Bibles here just a minute to 1 Corinthians. I want to just go just a little bit in that, because I got on that this morning. I got to bring it up to date. So here we find 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is all about the Spirit. But as it is written, eye has not seen, this natural eye has not seen, nor ear heard, this natural ear hasn't heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us. Now, we got into this morning, and we need to understand when he's talking about us or we, that means the church that loves God. And that's us. Yet Paul and Peter both brought in lots about us and we. But then them and they. They, and Romans 1 and 28 said, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God turned them over to a reprobate mind, to just go ahead and do whatever that they wanted to do. You see, because they didn't like to retain God in their mind. Who'd he call them? He called them. They did not like to hear God. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God turned them over to a reprobate mind. And then they, John says, in chapter 2 of John, verse 19. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you one thing, that every church is sitting with a whole lot of people that's went out from them because they got disgusted, aggravated, upset, and maybe wrong in so many things that they went out, and they're not of us. And they'll tell you they're not of us. You take somebody that's quit a church, and they say mention that church. They say, well, that's not my church. And they went out, it says, because so they could be known that they went out from us. See, there's a lot of folks out there that's out from us. They're prodigal sons. They're no telling what all. But we need to try to get them prayed to it. But the main thing is the Spirit is telling us, go out and win some souls. Get down on your knees and pray every day till you're refilled with the Holy Ghost. Get down and pray till you feel the power of God in your heart. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Here, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says, eyes not seen, ears not heard. But then it comes to verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. What's that word, us? He's revealed them to us. He don't leave us out. Because we're hearing what the Spirit has to say. God revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We can't get anything from God until we get where we can hear and receive from him, because it's the Spirit of God. Now look what it said. Now we, that's us. How many know that we means us? I'm persuaded to believe everybody here is in the us crowd, in the we crowd, and if you ain't, you can leave here in the crowd. Us. Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he said, to them that have obtained like precious faith with who? With us. Us. Now that us is important. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And he goes on then, he comes down to verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But then he goes right back. But we have the mind of Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody here tonight had the mind of Christ? I'll tell you, ain't no telling what would happen if we all had the mind of Christ. And no telling what would happen if everybody walked in the Spirit and didn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many knows how you become a son? Romans 8:14 said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it goes on and on. The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter preached it. But he couldn't even identify the Lord one day until he found the Spirit to identify him with. I want you to turn your Bibles back to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. One day now Jesus got his disciples together. Now I want you to notice this. This all happened spiritually. That's the reason we have dead churches and dead Christians today. It's because they don't have the Spirit. We need life. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is power. The Spirit is joy. It's righteousness. It's joy. It's peace in the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I got it, ain't you? I'm glad I got peace. I'm glad I've got righteousness, his righteousness, and I've got peace in the Holy Ghost. It's all a package in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. That's the first thing you're to seek. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he's telling us to seek the Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we're seeing it right before our very eyes among people that go to church. The Spirit has fled. But that's what he said. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some's going to depart from the faith. They're going to give heed to the wrong spirit, seducing spirit, and even doctrines of devils. Facts of the matter is, God's doctrine is love. Because God is love. What other doctrine can there be? And Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine, but it's his, for the Father. And then he brings his doctrine down to the apostles' doctrine, and he gets them all spiritual-minded where they can spread the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is nothing else but the spirit of love, the power of love, and the glory of God. And the glory of God, we look into that. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we change in with the spiritual realm, like Him. How? From glory to glory. How can you explain glory any other way but by spiritual? I can't. You know, here, we have to hear. Now, Jesus, one day in the 16th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, I'd like for you to turn there. He got his disciples around him, and he talked to them, and he asked them some questions. One of them come up with a spiritual answer. Huh? Listen to what he said, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked his disciples that had been following him quite a while, who do people out there say that I am? You know? And then he said, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others say Jeremiah. Or one of the other prophets. Now they said that's what people say. And you know that's what people, they don't know Jeremiah from Jesus. Huh? They don't know the Apostle Peter. They don't know Paul's writings. They don't know what the Bible says. And listen, it's going to take something to make it in. Now, we're in the end time, and God is dealing with the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And here we're going to find the answer right here in this book, in the 16th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. A man heard from the Spirit. He wasn't Spirit-filled yet, but he heard. Now listen to what he said. He asked, who do men say I am? Well, some say John the Baptist, some say the Elias, some say we don't know. Now listen to what he said. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How many got that? The only one in the crowd that could answer was he, Peter. Thou art the Christ. I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Now how did he know that? Not by what man's knowledge, not by what he read in a book, but listen what he said. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I counsel you tonight here, who told him that? I'll tell you, the spirit realm, he dug into the spirit realm and he said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. It took the Spirit to identify Jesus. Huh? How many got that? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. It's the Father which is in heaven. In other words, you got a spiritual charge from heaven that told you who I am. Who do men say I am? Well, we don't know, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, whoever, but we don't know. Jesus went on and he said some things to add to this. And verse 18, he said, and I say unto thee, there are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself, Jesus, the rock. How many knows he's the rock? And upon this rock, he is the cornerstone of the foundation, and the apostles are the foundation, and we better be careful how we build thereon. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let every man take heed how he builds thereon. We got to hear what God's got to say. I don't want to miss anything that the Spirit says. I don't want to miss anything in this book that I can find out that will help me know more spiritual things. And the Word is spiritual itself. It said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now here these other fellows are sitting around there, and Peter has sprung the real truth. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And Jesus has come back at him and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, Peter. My Father in heaven gave that to you. Now listen what else he said. My Father in heaven has revealed it unto thee. And then in verse 18 he says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. Now here's what he said. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How many got that? He turned the power over to him. He turned the keys. How many knows what the keys? The Jews done away. He said, woe to you Jews. You've done away with the key of knowledge. The one is the key of knowledge. The key. He said, I'm going to give you the key. You know, the keys is an entrance. The way to get in something is with a key. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and you're going to be binding things. What you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. You're going to have some power with you, Peter. Well, this took one chapter to get him in another controversy. Next chapter, let's turn over to the next chapter, chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart. Now he's getting ready to show them something spiritual now again. And after 6 days, in verse 2, and was transfigured before them. That was a spiritual thing. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now watch this. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. You think that's what God wanted? No, Peter's already getting off course. So he has to get back to the spiritual realm. He has to hear what the Spirit has to say. You know, I can get off course. You can get off course every day if we don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Here Peter said, Lord, it's so good to be here. There's you and Moses and Elias, and we want to build. I'd say let's build 3 tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias. And let's just hang out up here. Well, that's not what Jesus had in mind. He had in mind to get Peter to reach a little bit deeper. And listen to what he said. When it was yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice in the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. How, what does he say there? He didn't say, hear Moses. It didn't say, hear Elias. He said, now you, in other words, he's backing up to 16th chapter here when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood's not revealed it to you, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. You're going to bind things on earth. You're going to bind things in heaven. You're going to set things free. You're going to have power, Peter. Now Peter's wanting to build 3 tabernacles. You know, and this might be that we got too many tabernacles now. I know a lot of them that don't know nothing about God. Amen. You don't believe it, you go to some of them, and especially go to some of them and try to preach. I appreciate you folks here. I can preach to you because you're my kind, and you're part of us, and we're part of you, and it's we, and it's not me. And I know a lot of places where it's me. Now, me is singular, but God doesn't want us singular. He wants us to be we and us. That's the reason he gave Adam a wife. Huh? When he created man, he said he created man in the image of God, created he them man and woman. Come on. God doesn't want a church empty either. He wants a full church, one that understands the power of God. You know, it doesn't make, there's churches that's full, but they haven't got an ounce of spirit. They're jumping over the pews, which I believe we ought to shout, if it's the right kind of shout. They're doing all kinds of kicking, and they got the drums so loud you can't hear anything, and a bang bang here and a bang bang and this everything. I'm going to tell you, that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God speaks. When they get done, you can ask one of them, now what did the Spirit say while you was beating on that drum? The Spirit. Oh, I didn't hear from the Spirit. We was just rejoicing. How can you rejoice unless you hear from God? How can you rejoice without hearing what the Spirit has to say? And at least feel what he's got to say. At least be in touch with God. At least know that God is with you. You know, Enoch walked and he was not, for God took him. See, God was with him in his walk. When you walk with God, God's going to talk to you, and you're going to talk to God. There ain't no two of anything goes along together any period of time. Finally, when somebody says something, you want to talk to God, just start walking with him. He'll talk to you, and after a while, you'll answer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's the hearing. Hearing these sayings of mine, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came, the house stood because it was founded upon a rock. How did it get founded upon the rock? By hearing what the Lord said. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I'll liken him to a wise man. Built his house upon a rock. When the rain came and the wind blew and it beat against that house, it stood. Because those people built upon what they heard from the Spirit. Huh? Well, let's go over and into the Acts of the Apostles and get into some of the things that the Lord had cut out for Peter. You know, Peter he's no longer going to build Elias a tabernacle and Moses a tabernacle. He's done sold out. And he's got something, and something's getting ready to happen. And it's the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. See, the Holy Ghost talks. He's not deaf, and he's not dumb. He talked, and we have to have an ear to hear what he's saying. So here on the day of Pentecost, here stands these men that followed Jesus all along, and he's told them, go into Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. Now I want you to go in the upper room there. I want you in Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry there till you're endued with power from on high. There's something coming that's going to empower you with something. And I've told you about it. You go and it's coming. Jesus said, if you go to Jerusalem and you'll tarry there, you will be endued with power from on high. Ain't that something the Spirit would say? What they're going to do is be endued with the power of the Spirit. But here they are. The day of Pentecost comes around. The Jews are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And they're having a good time up at Jerusalem. And let's see what it says here. Now the Spirit comes with a noise, but you can't hear it with the natural ear. What did it say? The natural man receiveth what? Not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither does he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, you that's filled with the Holy Ghost, you can hear things that other people can't hear. Huh? Somebody said, that's just your imagination. It's not my imagination. I'm hearing from God. I hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, or I wouldn't even have sense enough to know how to preach. I don't know very much, but I know one thing. When the Spirit talks to me, I know what it is, and I know what He's telling me, and I know what to deliver to you, whether I ever seen you before in my life, because whatever God gives you in the Spirit, that's the right message. Can you say amen? I don't know how long I'm going to preach on this. It may be the rest of this revival, but there's so much Scripture in it that about what to hear and what not to hear. Now let's go on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's good, isn't it? All in the same atmosphere, same mind, the one accord. They's all in the same place. Huh? I'm glad you folks are here tonight, because God can bless you, but the ones that went out playing golf or whatever they do, God can't bless them. He's not going to speak to them playing golf on Sunday night. Woo. Huh? Come on. He's not going to do it. You're not going to hear. And in Hebrews chapter 5, it said, seeing that you're dull of hearing. You know, a lot of folks got their hearing dulled by the carnal thing. And Jesus also, he was talking to a group one day in the 13th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, and he said, you're dull of hearing. You can't hear the spiritual thing. You're dull of hearing. You can hear what people say, but you can't hear what God's saying. And said verse 2, here's the first sound. And suddenly there came a sound. Woo! You ever hear that sound? Had a Catholic fellow came to our camp meeting one time, and he had never experienced anything like that. He was reading the Bible. He studied the Bible, and he'd read it through a couple of three times. But there it was, the Holy Ghost was moving, and he said it just felt like a wind. He said, what was that? I said, I'll tell you what it was. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And he accepted that. Just that quick. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Huh? Oh, there's a lot of foolishness going on out there. They call it the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost speaks, he speaks clear and plain to your spirit, your soul. If you have an ear. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now here they are. They've got a sound of a rushing wind in there. I suppose if anybody wasn't looking for the Spirit to come, they'd be confused. And there's a whole lot of confusion today. How many knows that? And it said there in verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Cloven tongues as of fire. Can you imagine being in a room full of people, the winds are blowing, and it looks like their tongues is on fire? Huh? God's getting ready to talk to this bunch, and he's getting ready for them to talk to heaven. Are you listening to me? Yeah, God's getting ready. And it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many knows there's a difference in being filled and getting it on you? Huh? The Holy Ghost could come upon you, but when he gets in you, I'm telling you, you've got something on the inside of there that you hear it, you feel, you're full. I didn't say they were all got a little dab of the Holy Ghost. They was all filled with the Holy Ghost. And most of the people in churches today, they've got this little dab, do you? But that's not the way it is. We need the whole bill of sale. Can you say amen? We need everything that God's got for us. And we're going to need that to get where we're going. Are you listening? We've got some things ahead of us that we're going to have to face. And we better be full of the Holy Ghost. Huh? The Holy Ghost. My, that represented Jesus. Didn't it? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And now he's getting ready to speak to them because he's in them. Huh? Listen, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues as the, I mean, got it, look at it, as what the Spirit gave them utter. Lord, Lord, Lord. What a mess. I don't know, I guess I'm getting things kind of messed up here, but I'm going to say it in him. Huh? You know, they get down in their ear nowadays and say, repeat after me. And they slap them around a little bit on the face and repeat after me. They say, that's it, now you got it. I disagree with them. They haven't got it. They need it, but they haven't got it. They get up from off the altar disappointed because some Christian is too lazy to pray them through or something like that, and not enough power of God in the church and everything where they can hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We need to have the power in the church again, enough where people can hear it, feel it, act upon it, and do what it says. Can you say amen? Say, well, they're nice people. Sure, they're nice people. A lot of nice people don't have the Holy Ghost, but they need the Holy Ghost because it's something that you can hear. It's something that gets in you. It makes you see. And it says, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might be able to see. That's the Holy Ghost. Anointing. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. I can't preach without the anointing. I have to have the anointing. What is the anointing? Acts 10:38 said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know that, how God anointed Jesus with what? The Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good. But that's the acid test, is are we going about every day doing good? Doing good. He was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now let's look at this here. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. God allowed that for about 17 or 18, 19 maybe nations to speak with tongues so these others could hear them speak in their national tongues. It's not that way all the time, but that was that way on the day of Pentecost. They all filled. There were dwelling in Jerusalem these men from every nation. And it was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded. And then verse 7 said, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are they not all Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Now let's go a little bit further with this. And it names all these nations here. And then they got another kick out of it. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Can you imagine the critics, one of the critics starting a rumor? Said, I know what's the matter with them. They got into the wine cellar. The fact of the matter is they're a little bit tipsy. This is all a put on because they're drunk. Now here's this man that has the keys of the kingdom. I want you to get this. Here's this man, Peter, he's in the presence there. He's just come out of a whole mess himself. He's denied Jesus, said, I don't know him, and prayed through, bitterly wept and everything, but he's filled with the Holy Ghost now, and he's ready to act on the day of Pentecost. We all need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and ready to act at any time, day or night, anywhere we're at. I could tell you stories where God is in the night. Somebody come and get me out of bed, and I drive 30 miles. Somebody dying. And God give me a revelation of that person. We spoke the word of God and the Spirit, and they lived. With a truck driver one time, his little boy was dying. He was in Alabama or somewhere driving his truck. The little boy's grandfather came over to my house at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, this little boy's dying. His dad's down driving a truck in Louisiana or someplace down in there. And he said, they want me to come and get you to go pray with. I got out of bed and went over there to pray for him. Now the Spirit spoke to me. And when I crossed the bridge on Black River, which is a few miles from my house, about halfway between there and the hospital, and God showed me two women and a man standing by this child's bedside. Two of them. And God said, I'm going to heal you. Now, he didn't say, you're going to heal him. He said, I'm going to heal him. He said, I want to tell you to get everything in line when you get there. Well, when I got there, this boy's mother was one of the women, and I said, hey, there's supposed to be somebody else here. She said, what do you mean? I said, your sister's supposed to be here. She said, oh, she's down there in the dining hall getting a cup of coffee. I said, we'll just wait, because the Holy Ghost said there'd be two of them. Huh? They said he won't live till daylight. They had an oxygen. He was breathing in terribly. When she came back, and she stood right in the place that the Holy Ghost showed her, and I said, now let us pray. We prayed, and pretty soon we waited a little while, and pretty soon the nurse came in and began to check his temperature and his blood pulse and all this. She said, something happened here. I said, yeah, I know there's something happened. You know what? But before daylight, that oxygen tent was off of him, and they sent him home. His dad got saved, his mother got saved, his sister got saved, and his brothers and sisters got saved. I'm going to tell you, there's something. If we get full of the Holy Ghost and can hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, you're going to be not lost out there in this old world, troubled world, but you're going to know, and you're going to have the mind what to do and when to do it. Now, here they are. They're all, according to the Jews, drunk. Well, you really get full of the Holy Ghost. You'd be accused of all kinds of things. Huh? Yeah. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost that we used to have. Not the one that they're got now. No, I'm not talking that way either. Because there ain't no, there's the one that they got now is a false. If he don't have power, if he don't talk to you, if he don't move you, and you don't feel led to move, there's something wrong with that. Something wrong with what you got. But you see, we need something that moves people. And listen to what he said here. in the midst of this. They was mocking. Verse 13 says, they said the men were full of new wine. Here's Peter. He just got straightened out himself. After 16th chapter of Matthew, and the Lord promised him the keys and all that, and then the Lord, when he's going to be crucified, Peter backed up against the fire and said, I never knew him. He cursed and everything. The cock crowed just exactly like the Lord told him it was. He went and repented bitterly. Now he's ready to defend the Lord. Listen to what he said. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my voice. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men's going to dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit that they shall prophesy, and they shall show my wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood, fire, and goes on and on. And that's the story of the Holy Ghost. They were all what? They didn't get a little bit of dab on them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what. If everybody in this church tonight sitting here was filled with the Holy Ghost, you'd rattle the cages in heaven, and God would come down and fill everyone that's not filled with the Holy Ghost with the Holy Ghost, huh? Because we hear what the Spirit has to say. You know, Jesus said, you're going to Jerusalem, now you turn. He's coming. You get ready. He's coming. Let me tell you something. We've got to have revival. We have to have revival. Our nation's in too bad a shape. Our churches are too bad of shape. Our people are too bad of shape. We must have revival. The only way you're going to have revival is through the Spirit of God. It's not by might, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Everybody in this building tonight needs the Holy Ghost. You need to be able to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. You know, people will confuse you. They'll tell you lies. They'll tell you all kinds of things. There ain't nothing to this and there ain't nothing to that. I'll tell you what, they come too late to tell me there ain't nothing to the Holy Ghost. Because I've got 55 years of record of walking with Him, talking with Him. I know when He speaks. I know what He's saying. And I know who He's talking. Sister Buckner, you only get a song.